Would you bow your heads, please? Say, Father, give me ears. To hear your word.
Eyes to see.
What your spirit is saying to me.
And a heart to perceive.
That we're going to make it to the other side.
Amen.
The reason for that is because he took me to three scriptures this morning. And I'm going to take you to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. But you can also go to Matthew 8:23 or Luke 8:22, because they're all about Jesus in the boat. And you say, well, why are we going back there? Because he said to go back. And so come with me to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to take a peek at a couple of points. And we're going to take a reality check that, yes, we are a corporate son. And the corporate son should act and react the same way that the real son or the firstborn son reacted. Amen? He's our example. He's our Lord and Savior. He's either your king or your adversary. Because sometimes he's both. He'll remind you of that he warned you, and you still did it your own way. Amen. And he'll still love you when you come back and teach your brothers and sisters of how stubborn you were. Like Peter, you know. Amen? Amen. Verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. He said, us. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Kind of cool, huh? They took him along. Just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Other boats meaning other churches. Got it. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, could somebody give me the amplified of that? Go ahead, Gail, nice and loud.
Just 37?
37 only.
And a furious storm of wind of hurricane proportions arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat so that it was already becoming filled.
It was already becoming filled. And I remember when Doug shared this with us quite a while back, how impressed that I said, Lord, I've read that scripture so many times, and I know what it means when you're swamped. That means you're almost over your head. When I'm swamped with problems, it's danger time. Yes?
Amen.
And here's our Savior snoozing. Okay? And when we talked about this a few weeks ago, I remember questioning you at the beginning of the service. Kind of irritating some to give me a response of what you would be doing in that boat with Jesus sleeping on a pillow. Because that's what he's doing. If you read the whole thing there, you'll see. So, I said I, for one, would pray that I had a courage to go lay down next to him on that same pillow. And the Lord reminded me of that this morning. Because we are so in the natural and so focused on the natural that we forget that we are spirit beings. Verse 38. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? So what's their focus on? The other churches?
No, the water in the boat.
The water in the boat? What else?
Themselves.
Number one, yes. All about me. Has anything changed?
No.
Do we still act and react with all about me as our priority? And God is trying to get us to think corporately and act corporately and react corporately. And I remember a few weeks ago when Judy gave her testimony, she said the Holy Spirit told her back in January, if I remember correctly, that she was not to call anybody, she wasn't to say anything to anybody about her upcoming surgery and her appointments. It was to keep the Holy Ghost in charge of her life and see the fruit of the corporate church go to work. And the byproduct of that is she had total peace during the entire process, which took months. And the Holy Ghost prompted different people at different intervals to call her and to reassure her and to visit with her. Even though she had not told anybody, the Holy Spirit was working in those members that she needed to hear from on time, not late, without the use of her mouth to cry out to people, "Will you pray for me?"
Amen.
That's a baby doing action. Anytime you see a child that wants something, he or she will cry out. When you're mature and you're trusting in the one that's sleeping in the cushion, even though your boat is sinking, you know God's got somebody on your case. And they might wake him up. One thing if you wake him up, it's something else if they wake him up. It would be better if he woke you up. Come on. Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. That's the goal. We're not there yet. We're on our way, but we're not there yet. 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Notice it said, he said. Words had to be spoken in order for the sea to calm down and the winds to
be still.
To stop and be still. Yes.
Amen.
How much of a miracle do you and I need before we start believing that we are a corporate body functioning as one? And to relate to Linda's vision, not to be focused on the dead trees that take all the sunlight out of the way. What are those dead trees? Those dead trees are people that want all the attention for themselves. Not that they're doing anything out of the ordinary, but that they are doing what comes naturally, focusing on me, myself, and I, the wonderful three idols that we serve. Then it was, the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, have they been spending time with him?
No.
Yet they think he's normal and natural like them. So the evidence of his walk with them would be that he's an average man with a carpenter for a dad, and he's now called rabbi, which is teacher. And he's doing his work as others have commissioned and the Holy Spirit has given him to do. As a byproduct, he's doing things that come naturally, but he has also entered someone else's rest. Anybody know who? Because that's what he told me this morning. He says, "Will you stay in my rest?" Because he gave me a snap vision of me laying down on that pillow next to him. And he said, "Now go to Hebrews chapter 4, which is where we're going. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. If you check out Hebrews chapter 3, because it's one letter, it's talking about all the men of faith, the great men
of God and how they never got what they prayed for. Most of the people that he taught fell in the desert. And God was angry with them. If you look at the verse 18 of chapter 3, and to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Some cannot enter where you are because of their unbelief. The next level is chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promises of entering his rest still stand, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. If you and I do not combine our going forward with faith, we will also be in unbelief because God cannot manifest what he wants out of any church until that which is of the Spirit comes alive out of your mouth and begins to manifest in the natural. I don't want to miss the boat. I don't want it to sink. But by the same token, you know what? I need to take faith for that boat to make it to the other side, just like you. I need to confess that we will make it to the other side, just like you. And the word that you had confirmed this message.
Amen.
I don't know why you're so damn smart.
I have nothing to do with it. Your days, I can't spell my name.
I know it's not you, but you had to obey. You know, and when we look at how God manifests and how he takes an average man or woman and makes them into instruments that he can use to bring others to life, it is quite interesting. On June 5th, I was invited to go and give a word to a church up the street. And I was at Christ Life Fellowship. And they video every service. So a little bit of time I had about a week and a half ago, I kind of checked it out, but I had no more time. The phone started to ring, and I couldn't listen to what I had spoken, because when you listen to yourself, it's a little scary.
Yes, it is.
And when the Holy Ghost has got your mouth opening, it's even double scary, because the unbelief is being dealt with. Well, there was one particular word of knowledge that I had, which happened to be for Dale's brother-in-law. Now, I've known Dale for a number of years, his brother-in-law a little bit, but not really a lot. And I had been there back a few months ago, and I had heard that he was very ill, not well, been in the hospital. They couldn't find any problems. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And nothing was showing up on all the tests. And I did pray for him. I prayed for his wife, Irene. A few times the Holy Spirit let me do that before that particular appointment. But towards the end of the service, the Lord gave me a word for him and his wife to come up. So they came up to the front, and all of a sudden, I started to feel the pressure in my chest that I experienced back in
82, 83.
Well, it's because my brother was turning 42 and 43, and he had had a major heart attack in 1939. And when I was turning 39, all hell broke loose. I was under pressure. You would not believe the amount of pain that I went through. In fact, I ended up having terrible chest pains, etc., and going to the ER and all that good stuff. Make a long story short, As he was approaching me, I began to describe what he was feeling, and I asked him if it was true. And he looked at me and he said, yes. And then it went one step further. I said, did you feel any pain coming up on your throat area where it would literally shut off your ability to breathe and you couldn't speak? Did you experience that as well? And he said, yes. And when I re-listened to that yesterday, my unbelief was being attacked. How many know that the unbelief has to be exposed in order for you to confess it? And as I listened to that, because I lived it, I lived that whole war for a number of years, from 1979 to 84, 85. It also attacked my son, my youngest son, where he confessed the same things to me. And I told him, the only thing you need to do is get rid of the fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 became a reality in my life at that time. My son experienced the very same thing. He'd try to make it to church. He'd be driving to church and it would attack him in his chest muscles and in the arm. The thing would get numb. He'd lose his ability to breathe and all those fear tactics. And he said, Dad, one point I pulled off the road and I screamed at the top of my lungs, I'm going to church double if you keep this up.
Not right now.
Now that's resistance with a kick in the pants. And sometimes that's what you need to do to the darkness, because that spirit of fear wanted him to die early. Close your eyes right now. Say, the spirit of fear
is a spirit
that doesn't want me to believe
that I am a worthy instrument
in the body of Christ.
It would like to kill me now.
That's its purpose.
And its goal.
To steal, kill, and destroy.
And he would love to kill me early.
So that this corporate church would never rise.
But they're wrong.
God did not give me a spirit of fear.
He gave me power, love, and a sound mind.
I decree to myself.
A sound mind.
Perfect love to cast out fear.
Perfect love to cast out fear.
And that spirit
is my enemy.
And he will not succeed
in killing me.
Hallelujah.
I'm rising today
into the fullness of life.
And I will combine it with faith
and decree
to this body,
be holy.
Be holy.
Be righteous.
Be made whole.
This day.
In Christ.
In corporate connections.
As you have decreed.
In your word for me.
As well as my friends.
Amen. Now, how many felt some stirring? Put your hand way up if you felt it. Why did you feel it? Why do you feel stirring when that happens and those words are coming out of your mouth? What are you doing that is irritating this thing?
You're declaring truth to the unbelief.
You're declaring truth. You're identifying the unbelief. What else?
In your words.
You're taking authority.
You're fighting back.
You're fighting back.
Bringing the righteousness that you were given through faith.
Yeah. And as you declare it, what happens? Your faith starts to activate and you begin to believe the words that are coming out of your mouth. You're starting to cancel all of the curses that you have placed on yourself for years. Your father's opinions when you misbehave and all those words that came out of his mouth, all of what your mother may have spoken to you and said you're never going to amount to anything because who do you think you are? And all those teachers along your path of life. And that includes religious teachers. Are you hearing me? My suggestion, as the press comes from the Holy Ghost this week, that you start declaring what God says about you.
Amen.
That you start decreeing this to your family. That you start making it real and activate your faith. Don't wait for another storm. Don't wait for the boat to start sinking or maybe taking a bucket trying to get rid of the water. You don't need to wake him up. You have the ability to lay down and say, I'm resting with this, Lord, and I'm going to activate my words, and I will speak to the storm that's in process, and it will not succeed this week.
Amen. Amen.
It will not succeed.
I heard this week, and I don't remember who it was from or where it was, but the Lord just brought it back to me. Why is it that when we hear the negative or we're in the negative, that we take that on with no question? We just accept it.
It's part of Adam.
But when the truth is being spoken or we see the truth, then we have all these questions and we need miracles and we need signs and we need ones. But with the negative, we just take it right on.
Adamic nature. When Adam was not under the anointing of fear, he was spending time with the Father on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
As soon as he chose to do things on his own, he became a servant of fear. And self-rejection entered. Those two levels showed his actions where he would just literally cover himself because he was so naked. That nature goes back to Adam. And we're fighting it. We're fighting it individually and corporately.
All this because of an apple.
I don't know if it was cruelly an apple, but I do believe that he was tempted because he wanted to rule. And he enjoyed listening to the darkness. Did not discern correctly. How many of you have ever failed in your discernment? Thank you. Welcome to the Adamic Club. Thank you. Father, now, I've given them what you showed me, that it's time to rest. In that chapter, resting is being identified as the Father's nature. It's time for a Sabbath of rest. Father, I thank you now. It will be a reality, not just to these that have heard this word, but also those who are listening to this word. In Jesus' name.